And I pray that we would understand what your word says. And I pray that you would reveal your son to us through your word right now as we listen to his words. And we thank you for the way that he points us to you. And we just pray that you would work right now. Help us to understand what you've said, to believe it, to obey it, to live the abundant life that you've called us to. As we learn to pray together today, I pray that you do that work among us and in us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about prayer. And as I mentioned when we talked about the Lord's Prayer a few weeks ago, a good definition of prayer is asking God for stuff. And I just before we get going on this, I just want to ask you, do you have any stuff? You know, like, is there anything that you need right now? Anything that isn't working out exactly like you want to work out? Think about those things. It might be a health need. It might be a financial need. It might be something going on with a relationship with somebody. It might be for God's guidance, a big decision that you're making. It might be for deliverance from evil. Maybe there's something evil going on around you and you need help getting away from that. It might be for forgiveness. It might be for courage to do the right thing in a difficult situation. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that every single one of us has some stuff. And what God wants us to do when we've got stuff to deal with is just ask him for his help. Just ask him. So we're going to read about that. So these are Jesus's words. He's talking about prayer, talking about the way that we relate to God. And this is Matthew 7, verse 7. In the bulletin, I said we were going to go through verse 12, but we're going to break off that verse 12 and just talk about that verse only next week because it's kind of its own thing. There's enough to say about just that verse. So we'll do chapter 7, verses 7 to 11 right now. Let me read. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is God's word. Jesus says we need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock. And what he means, he doesn't say who we're asking and who we're seeking for and who we're not, whose door we're knocking on, but it's pretty obvious from the context. It's talking about God. We need to ask God for what we want. We need to ask him, Jesus says. We need to seek him out. When God seems far away, when we can't figure out where he is, he doesn't feel close to us, he says, seek for him, look for him, go and find him. When it seems that God, there's barriers between us and God, he says, knock on that door, knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. There's a song, I think, it's probably not about this. There's a song, but knock on heaven's door and God will open up the door, you know, because if we ask for him, if we seek for him. And the picture is God, as we'll talk about later, it's like God as a parent, God as a father. And maybe there are some children that you know or children in your house, and these children ask their parents for things. Maybe you can imagine with me, if you will. This might be difficult for some of you, but it's easy for me. Imagine a child who says, I can't find my shoes. I can't find them. I don't know where they are. And what does he do when he can't find his shoes? Well, he needs to go ask his mother. He needs to just ask her, can you help me find my shoes? And what kind of mom would say, no, I'm not going to help you find your shoes? Moms love to help their kids. Well, They usually, they want their children to find their shoes, right? They want to help them learn how to keep track of their shoes, but they also, they want to help their children find their shoes. And what if he can't find mom? Well, he has to go seek for her. He has to look around the whole house, look around the yard, find where mom is, seek her and find her. And if he seeks for her, he'll find her. But what if she's in a room with a closed door and she's on the phone and she's trying to talk to somebody? And well, you got to knock on the door. Knock on the door when she's back there in her, in that room with the closed door, and she'll open the door and she wants to help because she loves that child. That's what parents are like. They want to help their kids. And that's what God is like. And what Jesus says is, when you ask, God answers your prayers. He loves to answer your prayers. When you seek for him, he'll let you find him. When you knock on his door, he loves to open up that door and let you walk in so you can be close to him. That's the kind of God that we have. When you ask him, he answers your prayers. He gives you what you ask for. Now, you might say to me, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Nathan, when we were looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, you said that God already knows what we need before we ask him. Jesus said that, right? Your Father knows what you need even before you ask him, so you don't have to like keep bugging him and pestering him and babbling on the same prayer over and over and over. Doesn't God know? But Jesus is saying, so you might ask me, what's the point in asking God if he already knows what I need? Because, you know, like a typical human mother might not know that I lost my shoes, but God knows where that I've lost my shoes even before I tell him, you know. What's the point in asking God? But Jesus is saying, the first thing that we need to see here, Jesus is saying God loves it when we ask him. God wants us to ask him. He knows already that we have needs, but somehow in the mysterious act we call prayer, God loves to hear what we ask him for, and then he loves to answer when we ask him. That's somehow the way God works, is he wants us to bring our needs to him, whatever our needs are, to ask him for it, and then that's when he answers. That's how God works. And then why is that? Well, the way that we relate to the eternal God of the universe, you know, the same God who put the planet Saturn where it goes and told it to go around the sun, you know, the same God who has lived forever and ever and will live forever and ever, the same God who sees invisible things that we don't see, and he's the one that made those invisible things that we don't see. Like that same God, the way that he calls us to relate to him is by faith, by trusting him. That's how we relate to the eternal God of the universe. And the way that we express our faith in God is through prayer. And the way that we grow in our faith is through prayer, by asking God to give us something. And it's so good to write it down, right? Write down your prayer, and then you can see God answering. You can look back at what you wrote and say, oh yeah, God answered that time. I asked him for a puppy, and he gave me a puppy. I asked him for a healing, and he healed. I asked him for some money because I was in a jam, and he got me out of the jam. I asked him to reconcile me with somebody that I was in conflict with, and he worked that out. You know, like, we can ask him, and we grow in faith when we see him answer. Isn't that beautiful? And then sometimes he doesn't answer the way that we want, and we grow in faith seeing how he doesn't answer the way we want, trusting that he knows more than we do, you know, trusting that he's got a better idea of the big picture than I do. I've got kind of an ants-eye view on the universe, and God's higher. He knows better. And so sometimes he doesn't answer how I want, but that helps me grow in my faith. It helps me learn how to trust in him and to trust him with bigger things in my life as I have a prayer life with him, as I talk with him in prayer. And you're saying to me, probably, Pastor Nathan, a lot of times I have prayed. I prayed for a healing and he didn't heal. You know, I prayed for a better job and I'm still in the same job. I prayed for something and he didn't give me what I asked for. And now we're going to talk in a little bit later about some of the reasons that God might not answer us exactly the way that we ask him to. He doesn't always give us exactly what we want, the way we want it, when we want it. He doesn't always do that. But for now, I just want to point this out, what Jesus is saying. You're not going to have answered prayers if you don't ask him. He's saying the one who asks is the one who receives. The one who seeks is the one who finds. The one who knocks gets the door open for them. God wants to open the door for the one who's knocking. And so he wants you to knock and see if he'll open. God loves to answer the prayers of the people that ask him. Now you might also say to me, Pastor Nathan, there are plenty of people out there who seem to be getting what they want who are not praying. I look at my neighbors. A lot of them have really nice lives. They've got plenty of money. They've got nice families. They've got nice houses. Things seem to be going smooth. And I know them, and I know they don't pray at all. And they seem to be doing pretty well. So what's the point of me praying if a lot of these people are getting along fine without praying? And to answer that question, I think it's helpful for us to distinguish, and I borrowed this idea from the late British pastor John Stott. He distinguishes between creation gifts and redemption gifts. God's a creator and he's a redeemer, right? He gives creation gifts to his people, to every person, but he gives redemption gifts to those people who trust in him. Okay? So Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, God allows the sun and the rain, the sun to shine and the rain to fall on every person. You know, people who believe in him and people who don't. The rain is, when God sends the rain in Russia, it falls on Vladimir Putin, just like it falls on somebody who's trusting in Jesus and trying to follow his way. You know, God gives certain gifts to every single person, whether they believe in him or not. Those are the creation gifts, okay? But then there are certain gifts that God gives to people who trust him, to people who ask him, to people who are humble enough to say, God, will you give this to me? And he gives those special redemption gifts to them. And those gifts are like the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the gift of peace when things aren't going well, God's peace, not oblivion, you know, not willful ignorance, but to really be trusting God and have peace in the middle of all of our problems. God gives that kind of gift to people who ask him. The presence of God when we're in the middle of all of our problems. God's presence, that he's close to us. Those are redemption gifts. The way that he works in our lives and changes us and makes us more like his son. He does that for people who trust him, for people who ask him. So he gives some gifts to everybody, but he gives those special redemption gifts to the people that want to ask him for them, the people who want to trust in him. So look back at the Lord's Prayer, if you would. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. If you look at verse 11, it says, this is part of the prayer, give us today our daily bread. And then after that, we ask, forgive us our debts. So you're asking God for forgiveness. And then in verse 13, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So that first gift is asking for daily bread. That's like a creation gift, food. God gives a lot of people food, even though they don't ask him, right? A lot of people eating around here, and they're not asking, and God gives them food anyway. But then there are these special gifts, the redemption gifts, like forgiveness of sins. God gives forgiveness to people who ask him for it. Deliverance from evil. God delivers the people from evil who ask him for it. Okay? So there's the creation gifts and the redemption gifts. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a Christian, you want to ask him for both kinds. You want to ask him for the daily gifts, the daily bread, what I need today, Because you know that even though he gives those gifts to everybody, that's still a gift from God. Your job is a gift from God. Your money is a gift from God. The food on your table is from him. He causes the wheat to grow. He causes the cows to make the delicious beef. That's a gift from God. But then he also gives to those who ask him, especially forgiveness, deliverance. And we want to ask him for both and thank him for both when we receive them. So if you have any needs today, ask God to meet your need. He loves to meet your need. He loves it when you ask him. He loves it when you're showing that you're trusting him to meet your need. And if you can't think of anything to ask him for, look back at this Lord's Prayer. You know, can you ask God that his kingdom will come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Or can you ask him for daily bread or for forgiveness or for deliverance from evil? Or can you join in the prayers of God's people here as we write down our prayer requests? Maybe you can't think of your own thing that you want to ask God for, but you can ask for someone else. And God loves to answer those prayers as you intercede for your brothers and sisters. And then just see what God does. It's a real faith-stretching exercise. It's a real faith-muscle-building exercise as we do a set and ask God to answer, and then our faith muscles grow, and we can do a stronger set the next time and trust in God more. It's sort of like strength through weakness, learning how to be weaker and learning how to see God be stronger. It's pretty amazing. So just ask him. Just ask him. Okay, so now what we need to talk about is why oftentimes we don't ask God for what we need. Because it's true that, like I'm telling you, Jesus says, seek, ask, knock. And there are plenty of times where we don't do it. You know, we don't bring our needs to God. So why don't we ask God for what we need? And I think maybe if I ask you that question, if somebody asked me that question, the first thing I would say is, well, actually, I do. I do it when I'm driving, or I do it when I'm doing the dishes. You know, I think of something and I can just do a little prayer. And you know what it says, pray without ceasing. But what I'm talking about is, like, can we take some time where it's focused time on prayer, and this is what we're doing. We're not like tacking that onto the top of doing the dishes, but we're really saying, right now I'm asking God to meet my needs. And I think most of us will admit we don't do it as much as we could. We could grow in that. We could grow in taking time and asking God to meet our needs, to answer our prayers. And we might say we don't do that because we're too busy. And it's true that we're busy. But, you know, like on Sundays, on my phone anyway, it tells me how much average time I spent per day in the past week looking at my phone. So whenever that happens, I have to admit to myself, I'm not as busy as I think I am. And it kind of breaks down, you know, like, you spent this much time looking at sports scores, Pastor Nathan. You know, I could pray more if I would, you know. So why am I not praying more than I am right now? Why am I not thinking of God enough? Like, because I sure can complain when things aren't going well. Why don't I bring that need to God? Why do I not do it more? Jesus says part of the reason we're not thinking of God more is that we're not thinking of him the right way. We've got an idea about God that doesn't match the reality of what God is really like. Because, you know, that's one thing about God is he's invisible. And so when we conceive of God, you know, it's in our heads. Like, we're not actually looking at him. And so we need to have a conception of God that matches the reality of what he's really like. And if we did have that conception of what God was really like in our minds, if we knew what he was really like, then we'd want to run to him. We'd want to search for him and find him and be in his presence. We'd want to knock on his door and have his door open to us and just be there and see him answering our prayers, being close to him. I used to listen to this one musician. I really liked hearing this guy. He wasn't a famous musician, but I had a record of his songs. and I really loved his songs, and I had an idea of what this guy would be like. I thought he would be super spiritual because he wrote Christian songs. I thought, oh, he's going to be super nice and super spiritual, and his songs are about mercy, and he's going to be a really merciful dude. And then I was living in Dallas, and he didn't live in Dallas, but he was doing a show in Dallas, and I said to Zuleika, well, let's go see the show. And we went to the show, and I listened to him talk between his songs. He wasn't that nice of a guy. And then I went and I talked to him after the show because, you know, he had like a CD table, you know, he was selling his CDs. And I talked to him about, you know, like I really like your songs. And one of your songs, I made a recording of. And it wasn't like he was happy that I did a recording of a song. He was like a little offended, you know, like, oh, am I getting royalties from that? I was like, but nobody's buying my songs, you know, like I don't really make money. I'm doing it because I like your song. And the interaction was kind of awkward and weird. And after that, I was sort of like, well, I don't really want to hang out with him after all. I thought I wanted to hang out with him. But my conception wasn't actually the way it was. Now, to be fair, like, you know, people can have an off day and he's tired. He just did a show and I'm trying to talk to him about me and he's got other things on his mind. And, you know, you probably listen to me talk up here and you think, oh, Pastor Nathan's going to be a nice guy. And then you try to talk to me on your way out the door and you're like, he's a little bit boring. But God is the opposite of that. You know, like we have a conception of what he's like and we don't want to hang out with him. But if we knew exactly what he was like, he's so much better than we think he is. He's the perfect, holy, majestic, loving, gracious, fun God of the universe. Merciful, magnificent, interesting. You know, he's so much better than we think. And Jesus gives this illustration of what he's like, and he says he compares God to parents, and he says, you know, like parents, they love to take care of their kids. They love to give their kids what they need. And if your kid asks you for supper, you know, if he asks you for a dinner roll, if he asks you for bread, you don't say, okay, sure, and then go out in the yard and give him a rock that looks like a dinner roll and say, take a bite out of that and see what happens to your tooth. Parents don't do that to their kids. And if your kid says, I'd like a nice, delicious trout, will you go fishing and give me a trout? You don't say to him, okay, I'll go get you a trout and then go fish out a snake and say, here's your supper, a poisonous rattlesnake sandwich. You don't do that for your kids. And if we don't do that for our kids, and Jesus says, and look at you people, and you're evil. Jesus knows what we're like. He knows that we're selfish. But even selfish people like us want to take care of our kids. Like God's put that in our heart to care for our kids. And we don't do it perfectly, but we try. We have pretty good intentions. I told you last week about how I love getting bicycles for our kids. You know, I love getting extravagantly expensive bicycles, you know. It's just so fun to give a kid a bicycle. And now most parents don't give a kid a bike and say, get on this thing and ride it, but you don't tell them it doesn't have brakes. Ride real fast down the hill towards that tree. It doesn't have brakes. You don't do that to your kid. You want to give your kid a good gift. You want to take care of your kid. You want to see him, and you don't want to buy more Band-Aids. You know, like you want to do what's good. So if that's what parents are like, God is so much better than we parents are because we're evil, we're selfish, and God is perfect. He's holy. He loves us. This is what God is like. He's a perfect father. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. That's who he is. You know the song. We need to start singing that song here. But it's like people complain because it's so repetitive. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. But we need to remember that's who he is. He's a good, good father. Good, good father. Good, good father. He loves us. And we're his children. You're his child. If you have come to Jesus through faith in God, you have been adopted into God's family. Isn't that good news? That you're his child and you sit at his table and you're going to eat with him at his table forever and ever. And he's your dad. You can call him Abba. You can call him Daddy. And he loves to take care of you. He loves to give you good gifts. He knows exactly what you need, and he loves it when you ask him, and he wants to give you these gifts. Now, like I said, a lot of times we don't go to him with our needs. We don't think of him that way. We don't think of him as the good, good father and bring our gifts to him. And we think of him in other ways. Sometimes here's what we think. We think, you know, God is pretty busy. He's got the universe to take care of. He has to sustain the universe. And it's just me, you know. I'm just asking him for something little. I'm just asking him for gas money, you know. And he's got Ukraine to worry about. Or he's got, you know, Satan to defeat. And it's just me. I'm not super important to him. But that's not the picture of God that Jesus gives us, is it? He's not the kind of father that's too busy for us. He loves to hear from us. And God is, because he's God, he's able to handle Ukraine and you at the same time. He can handle it. He somehow can take care of defeating Satan. He can take care of redeeming the children of God and giving them eternal life. And also putting gas in your car, you know. And also helping you reconcile with that person that you're in conflict with. God can handle it. God knows. He cares. He knows what's good for us. And he wants us to be close to him, to depend on him, to ask him, and to meet our needs at the right time and in the right way. That's what God wants to do. Now, sometimes we say this. I've prayed before. I've been praying, and nothing's happening. I'm not really sure if prayer works. Or, like, prayer probably works for the holy people, but it's not working out so well for me right now. Like, you know, prayer must not be my thing. I must not know how to do it right. Or, you know, God must not want to answer me, you know. But let's remember this. God is a perfect father. He knows what we need ahead of time. He wants us to ask. It's good for us to ask. Sometimes it's good for us to keep asking and to learn to depend on him when he's not answering yet. That's what's good for us, is to keep relying on him until the point that he does answer. That can be good for us. And then sometimes he knows that what we're asking for isn't the right thing, and so he doesn't give it for us because he knows more than we do. You know, if you, like, to go back to the thing with the parents and the children and the food, you know, if a child asks for a fish sandwich, you don't give him a rattlesnake sandwich. But what if there's a real silly kid and he asks for a snake to eat? What do you want for supper? A snake? You don't give him a poisonous snake for supper because you know that that could poison him. And, you know, I know some children that if we let them have everything that they asked for, they'd have ice cream for every meal. Nothing but ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, and in the middle of the night, you know. And that wouldn't be good. We'd never sleep, you know. Like, God knows that sometimes that what we're asking for isn't the right thing. There's that country song. I'm not going to quote it exactly right, but it's sort of like, sometimes life's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. You know, I think in the song, the guy is like, well, I was praying to marry that one girl, and God knew I needed to marry the other one, you know. So, life's greatest gifts are the unanswered prayers and other things. You know, like, sometimes we ask him for things and he doesn't give us what we want. But that should give us a lot of freedom to ask for what we think we want and just trust in him to answer if he wants to. Because prayer isn't like Aladdin rubbing the lamp and the genie coming out and giving Aladdin exactly the wishes that he asks for, even if they're harmful. It's not magic. It's God, you know. It's personal. And he can decide if he wants to answer or not. And so we need to feel free to ask him for what we think we need and then just trust him to give us the right thing at the right time, whether if it's what we want or what we ask for or not. He wants us to ask. He wants us to learn to ask for what he wants for us too. Okay? So he sometimes when he doesn't answer, he sort of is teaching us to redirect our prayers and pray more in line with the kind of things that he wants to give us instead of the things that we ask for first. To like let our hearts and our desires be shaped by the scripture, by the word of God, and then to learn to pray for those things that he is calling us to pray for, and then seeing him answer those prayers. And sometimes, like, I can't really figure out why he doesn't answer, you know? I think I'm praying for the thing that he wants, and he's not doing it. But we just got to trust him. He knows. And maybe he's just working on me. Maybe he's trying to get me to trust him while I'm waiting. But he knows better. And I think there's one other reason that we don't run to God, or one other thing that we might say when we're not praying the way that we want to, is we sometimes you think, and you might not say this out loud, but it's a thought in your heart. God probably doesn't like me that much. Sometimes we think. If I do get close to God, he's instead of giving me what I'm asking for, he's more likely to smack me. You know? He's more likely to give me punishment than to give me presence. That's probably what God is like. Now, I don't hear anybody actually saying that, but don't you think we think it sometimes? I think what the counselors tell us is that our view of God a lot of times is shaped by the relationship that we had with our parents, like our actual mother and father, especially our relationship with our fathers. And a lot of people have great fathers. A lot of people had great ones. Some people had not such great fathers, or sort of like sometimes great and sometimes not as great. Sometimes fathers are unkind. Sometimes they're absent. Sometimes they're prone to angry outbursts. Sometimes some dads are like always disappointed with you. Like whenever you get around them, it's like, but you didn't do that right, you know? But what about this that you didn't do? Like, and you're always hearing that in the back of your head. Well, I didn't live up to what they expected, what they wanted. There was always a way that I disappointed. Or sometimes it can be worse than that. There's some dads that are worse than that. If you had a great father, or if you had not such a great father, here's what I want to tell you today. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect father. He's a good father. He's holy. He's righteous. And he's so loving, and he's so caring, and so faithful. He keeps his promises. He's consistent. He's there. He shows up when he says he's going to show up. If he says I'm going to do it, he does it. He follows through. And when you go into his presence through his son Jesus, he's not going to smack you. He's going to embrace you. He might not give you exactly what you ask for. He might not give you ice cream for breakfast, but he's going to give you what he knows you need, and because he loves you. He's a good, good father. God's attitude towards us is overflowing generosity, overflowing kindness. Because Jesus took the punishment that we deserved in our place, you know? Jesus took our punishment for us. God allowed him to die in our place. So when we come into his presence, he loves us and accepts us and embraces us. It's beautiful. You've got some needs, right? Take them to God. Just ask. Just seek. Just knock. God's a good, good father. He's a perfect father. He's a heavenly father. He knows exactly what you need. God has the power to answer what you need, to give you everything that you need. He's got the power to do it. He can help. You know, sometimes my kids ask me for things. I'm like, sorry, can't afford that right now. You know, God can afford to give you everything. He's going to give us all things. He's going to give us eternal life. And God is able and powerful to give you exactly what you need today and forever. He gives us good gifts. The gifts that he gives us are good ones. He gives spiritual blessings to those people who ask him, to those people who have faith. And even to those people who don't have faith, he gives good gifts, but he wants us to ask for everything. So let's pray without ceasing, but let's also have focused prayer. Let's commit today to having times of focused prayer where we say, this is what we're doing right now, we're praying. Right now, I am in God's presence, and I'm lifting up my needs to Him and asking Him to answer. Let's pray. Let's ask. Let's just ask. So let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that that's the kind of God you are, that you're a good God. And we do just offer you our needs, and we pray that you would answer as you decide is right, and we want to trust you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing the next hymn together. Let's